Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Ishut Perek Yud. This perek marks a transition in Hilchot Ishut. Until now, the topic has been the concept of Kiddushin and all of its details. But recall that Kiddushin is only the first stage of marriage and represents a formal kinyan before husband and wife begin to live together. The initiation of married life is the second stage of the marriage process, called Nisuin, and that is the topic of this perek. What changes after Nisuin? As we'll see in the coming prakim, there are responsibilities each side accepts towards the other which begin at Nisuin. There are other halachic changes as well. For example, a kohen may become tamei to his deceased wife only if she passes away after Nisuin, and a husband may annul his wife's vows, hafarat nedarim, only after Nisuin. Our perek discusses the process of Nisuin, the simcha associated with it, and the financial commitment which must accompany it in the form of the ketubah. The perek begins with a mechanism through which Nisuin is performed, called the chuppah. Halacha Aleph. Harusa asura levala midivrei sofrim kol zman shi bevet aviha. Vahaba al arusato bevet chamiv, makinoto makat mardut. Vafilu kitsha bevia. Asrulo lavo alea biashnia bevet avia ad shiavi ota letoch beto, viityachedima viafrishana lo. Vihudze huanikra knisala chupa, vihuanikra nisuin bachomakom. Vahaba al rusato lishem nisuin achar shikidsha, mishia reba kenaa, venasat nisua, varehi ishto lacholdavar. After Kiddushin, the wife continues to live in her father's home, and the husband is rabbinically forbidden, under penalty of makat mardut, to engage in marital relations with her during this period, even if he already did this once when he was a mekadesher through kiddushei bia. The way she becomes permitted to him is through nisuin, also called entering the chuppah. According to the Rambam, this means that the husband must bring the wife into his home, and they must be secluded together there, yichud. There are many opinions among Rishonim as to the exact definition of chuppah. The general practice among Ashkenazim is to do three activities, each of which satisfies one opinion. The first is to stand together within a canopied structure, set up and decorated for the occasion of the marriage, not necessarily belonging to the chatan, and to recite there, in the presence of a minyan, the seven brachot, which we'll learn about shortly. This is what we typically call chuppah. Our practice is to incorporate the Kiddushin into the same ceremony rather than doing it in advance. The second form of chuppah that we practice is yichud, in a room to which the chatan and kala proceed right after the ceremony we just described. The third activity, performed earlier, is for the chatan to cover the head of the kala with a veil, typically called bedekin, covering in Yiddish, or hinuma, veil, in Hebrew. Even though this is done before Kiddushin, it still works as an act of Nisuin, and takes effect as soon as the Kiddushin is completed. Sfardim follow another opinion about chuppah, which requires a piece of clothing to be spread over the chatan and kala together. This is done when the chatan puts on a talit and covers the kala with it after the Kiddushin is completed. We note in passing that the Rambam does not mention anywhere that Nisuin is a form of kinyan, like Kiddushin is, nor that it requires Edei Kiyum in order to be effective, like Kiddushin does. Rather, the Rambam seems to consider Nisuin to be a halachic change brought about by a new reality, the reality of husband and wife beginning their married life together. Other Rishonim do require Edim for Chuppah, because they view it as similar to Kiddushin, and the practice is typically to have witnesses be present for all three of the methods we mentioned earlier, Edei Chuppah, Edei Yichud, and Edei Hinuma for the Bedekin. The Rambam ends the halacha with a completely different method of Nisuin. Though husband and wife may not engage in marital relations between Kiddushin and Nisuin, they may do so as the act of Nisuin itself, as an alternative to Chuppah. In contrast to Kiddushei Bia, which the Rambam wrote in Perek Gimel, are accomplished only at the end of an act of Bia, Gemar Bia, the Nisuin are accomplished by the very beginning of the act, referred to here as Mishia Reba. As Rishonim explain, an act of Bia between two people who do not yet have any relationship must be completed in order to have a halachic effect. But once there is already Kiddushin between a man and a woman, the relationship can proceed to Nisuin with even the beginning of an act of Bia. Halacha Bet. Kevan shenichnesa harusa lachupa, harei zo muteret lo lavo aleha, bechol eit sheyirtze, varehi ishto gemura lechol davar, umishe tikanes lachupa nikret nesua, afa pi shelo nivala, והוא שתהיה ראויה לבילה. אבל אם הייתה נידה, אף על פי שנכנסה לחופה ונתייחד עמה, לא גמרו הנישואין, והרי היא כערוסה עדיין. After the chuppah, the husband and wife are fully married, even before they have relations together for the first time. However, the Rambam adds a significant chumrah. Because the essence of nisuin is to create a conjugal bond between the married couple, the chuppah is only effective if the wife is ru'uya leviya, if she is permitted to have relations with a husband at that moment. Specifically, if she is a nida during the chuppah, then the chuppah is ineffective. The nisuin have not yet been done, and she remains only an arusa. There is a source in the Gemara which suggests that the nisuin are not complete if the woman is a nida, but many Rishonim, including the Rush and the Tur, understand that Gemara to refer specifically to a part of the financial commitment, the ketubah, which accompanies the nisuin. We'll see another point relevant to the chuppah of a nida at the very end of this perek. But the Rambam understands that Gemara to mean that the chuppah of a nida is completely ineffective. The Shulchan Aruch accepts the opinion of the Rambam and mentions the dissenting opinion only as a yesh omrim. Even according to the more lenient opinion that chuppat nida is effective, there are practical difficulties which arise in this scenario, because the chatan is not permitted to place a ring on his wife's finger, nor may he have yichud with her when she is a nida. In practice, it is strongly recommended, through a combination of foresight and active intervention, for a woman to avoid being a nida on the day of her chuppah. If despite these efforts, the day of the wedding arrives and she is in a state of nida, a knowledgeable Rav with experience in Seder Kiddushin should be consulted about how to handle the details of the chuppah and of the yichud following it. Halacha Gimel. V'tzarich levarech birkat chatanim beveit hachatan, kodam nisuin, v'heim sheish brachot. There are six brachot, known collectively as birkat chatanim, and they must be recited in the home of the chatan before the nisuin. The Rambam is, of course, assuming that chuppah involves, as he said in Halacha Aleph, the chatan bringing the kala into his home, and therefore these brachot are also said in his home. For the version of chuppah which we use, the Rambam writes that the brachot are recited under the chuppah where the chatan and kala stand. In Halacha Dalid, the Rambam writes that if wine is available, then these six brachot are said over a cup of wine following the bracha of Borei Pri HaGafen, for a total of seven brachot, familiar to us as Sheva brachot. The rest of Halacha Gimel is the text of the Birkat Chatanim, the six brachot aside from Borei Pri HaGafen, which we won't read inside. Recall from Hilchot Brachot that the Sheva Brachot are also recited as part of Birkat HaMazon at certain meals during the week following the wedding. We won't review the details now, except to point out one important difference between the Sheva Brachot under the chuppah and the Sheva Brachot in Birkat HaMazon, including of the wedding meal itself. Under the chuppah, the bracha of Borei Pri HaGafen is recited first, while with Birkat HaMazon, it is recited last. Halacha Hei. Ve'en varchin birkat chatanim ela basara gedolim uvnei chorin, v'chatan min haminyan. The Birkat Chatanim requires a minyan of men, and the Chatan himself can count as one of the ten. Nisuin per se doesn't require a minyan. We mentioned before that it may not even require two Edim. But some Rishonim believe that one may not perform Nisuin without a minyan, because this would preclude the recitation of the Sheva Brachot. However, the majority opinion among Poskim is that if it is very difficult to gather a minyan, then the chuppah may proceed without the Sheva Brachot, and these brachot can be recited later when a minyan is available. What about the opposite case, in which Sheva Brachot are recited with a minyan, but there is no chuppah? Halacha Vav emphasizes that Birkat Chatanim is not a substitute for the chuppah. Even after these brachot are recited, the woman is not considered nisu'ah until after the chuppah procedure described in Halacha Aleph. Just as chuppah is ineffective with a woman who is a nida, according to the Rambam, the Birkat Chatanim should not be recited when the kala is a nida. But interestingly, the Rambam rules that b'di'eved, the bracha need not be repeated if it is recited in these circumstances. Halacha Zayin. V'tzarich lichtov ketuba kodem knisa lachupa, v'achar kach yemutar b'ishto. V'achatan noten schar sofer, v'chama hu kotev la, im hayta betula, ein pachot mi-200 dinar, v'im beula, ein pachot mi-100 dinar, v'zehu anikra ikar ketuba. V'im ratza lehosif la, afilu kikar zahav, mosif, v'din ha-tosefet, v'din ha-ikar, echad hu lerov ha-dvarim. Lefichach, kol makom shenomar bo ketuba stam, hu ha-ikar v'atosefet ke-echad. V'chachamim hem shetiknu ketuba la-isha, kedei shelo tia kala be'inav lehotziah. The husband must write a ketubah before the chuppah in order to be permitted to his wife. This is a document in which he commits a certain sum of money to his wife in the event that the marriage ends, either through divorce or if he dies while married to her. The minimum sum of the ketubah, called the ikar ketubah, is 200 dinar for a betula, a virgin, and half this amount, 100 dinar, for a be'ula, a woman who is not a betula, either because she was previously married or for any other reason. A dinar is also called a zuz, and so the ikar ketubah of a betula is typically referred to as matayim zuz, and that of a be'ula is called mea zuz, or just a maneh. We'll elaborate more on these amounts when we learn halacha chet. The husband may add to the ikar ketubah as much as he'd like, but he may not detract from it. The Rambam writes in Halacha Tet that if one writes an amount in the ketubah of less than 200 zuz for a betula and 100 zuz for a be'ula, then any act of marital relations between this husband and wife is considered be'ilat zenut. Furthermore, Halacha Yud adds, there is no option for the wife to waive her right to a ketubah or to sell it to her husband in exchange for payment on the spot. In either of these cases, or if the ketubah is lost, the husband must write a new one if he wishes to remain married to her. One may not be married to a woman even for an hour without a valid ketubah. If a husband adds more to the ketubah beyond the minimal amount of the ikar ketubah, the added amount is called the tosefet ketubah, and in most matters it has the same dinim as the ikar ketubah. So when we use the term ketubah in this and later prakim without any qualification, it is understood that we refer to both parts together, the ikar and the tosefet. The ketubah is a public document, looked over by many people at the wedding and customarily read aloud at the chuppah. A woman who is not a betula may find it embarrassing if this fact is publicized through the amount written in the text of the ketubah. Poskim therefore write that a husband may opt to commit to the larger amount of a betula even if his wife is a be'ula. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that this certainly should be done if a couple lives together without being halachically married and later decides to marry Kedat Moshe Yisrael. Halacha Zayin ends with a statement that the ketubah is midrabanan, and it was established by the Chachamim so that the husband would not consider it a simple matter to divorce his wife. The financial commitment would make him think twice before doing so. Recall that by Torah law, a husband can divorce his wife without her consent. There is a machloket in the Gemara if ketubah is midoraita or midrabanan, and the Rambam accepts the opinion here that it is midrabanan. This is a problematic ruling for the Rambam, as we will explain. But first, we see an immediate consequence of it in Halacha Chet. Dinarim elu lo tiknu otam min hakesef hatahor, ela mimarpea shaya beotan hayamim, shaya shiva chalakim nechoshet vechelek echad kesef, ad shia besela chatzi zuz kesef, v'nimitzu matayim dinar shel betula, chamisha ve'esrim dinar shel kesef, umea shel be'ula, shneimasar dinar umechetza. We discussed the coinage of silver in Hilchot Shkalim Perek Aleph. That entire system is known as Kesef Tzuri. There is a parallel system known as Kesef Medina, in which the coins have the same weights and names, except that they are not pure silver, but rather an admixture of 1/8 silver and 7/8 copper. Copper is worth very little relative to silver, and so each coin, and specifically a dinar, is essentially worth 8 times as much in Kesef Tzuri as it is worth in Kesef Medina. A very significant nafkamina of the question of whether ketubah is midoraita or midrabanan is therefore the exact amount of the ikar ketubah. If ketubah is midoraita, then the amount for a betula is 200 dinar in kesef tsuri, that is 200 dinar of pure silver. If ketubah is midrabanan, then the ikar ketubah is only 1/8 of this amount, 25 dinar of silver. This is obviously a large difference, but not as significant as it may seem, as we'll discuss shortly. While the Rambam concludes that ketubah is midrabanan, other Rishonim, including Rabbeinu Tam, disagree and believe that ketubah is midoraita. Aside from the amount of the ketubah, as we just explained, another consequence of this machloket is the wording of the text of the ketubah for a betula. Just after where the amount of 200 dinar is written at the beginning of the ketubah, the custom of Ashkenazim, based on the Psak of the Raman, in accordance with the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, is to add the words Dechazi Lechi Midoraita, Aramaic for which are due to you min haTorah. The entire text of the ketubah used today is Aramaic. Sfardim, who follow the Psak of the Rambam and other Chachmei Sfarad like the Rashba, that ketubah is midrabanan, do not include the word Midoraita in their text of the ketubah. There's a problem with the Rambam's psak here that ketubah is midrabanan, pointed out by the Ramban in his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvot. In the Kotert of Hilchot Ishut, as well as in the Sefer HaMitzvot, the Rambam formulates the mitzvah of Kiddushin, which we discussed in Perek Aleph, as Lisa Isha Biktuba VeKiddushin, to marry a woman with ketubah and Kiddushin. Similarly, the prohibition of Kedesha, also from Perek Aleph, is formulated as Sheloti Ba'el Isha Bilo Ketuba VeKiddushin. The clear implication of both of these formulations is that ketubah is a fundamental part of the institution of marriage on a Torah level, not only midirabanan. Many understand the Rambam to mean that while the amounts of mataim zuz for a betula and a mana for a be'ula are midirabanan, and therefore measured in kesef medina, as we saw in Halachachet, the fundamental concept that a marriage must involve financial commitment in the event of divorce is midoraita. There are psukim, like in Parshat Vayishlach and Parshat Mishpatim, which use the term mohar in the context of a marriage, and many Rishonim understand this word to refer to a ketubah. According to the Rambam, part of the way the Torah changed the previously existing model of marriage described at the beginning of Perek Aleph, taking a woman into one's home with no prior arrangement, is through an instrument of financial commitment, a ketubah. Without this, the husband can end the marriage on a whim, and therefore it does not have the seriousness and lasting nature which the Torah considers to be a critical component of a spousal relationship. A few words about the amount of the ikar ketubah in real terms. As we saw in Hilchot Shkalim Perek Aleph, a dinar is one quarter of a sela, which comes out to 96 se'orah, barley seeds, of silver. This means that 200 dinar is 19,200 se'orah, and since each se'orah is 1/20 of the gram, this comes out to 960 grams of silver for the ikar ketubah of a betula. Based on the current value of silver, this is equivalent in today's money to about $1,800, or between 5,000 and 6,000 shekel. And according to the Rambam, the ketubah is midrabanan, and so the 200 zuz are in kesef medina, we need to divide this amount by 8. Even a larger sum is by no means trivial, but it doesn't seem large enough to truly deter a husband from divorcing his wife if he wished to do so. As we've discussed before, there has been a sharp decline in the real value of silver since ancient times. This was already a problem at the time of the Rishonim, and therefore the custom developed to add money to this amount in the form of Tosefet Ketubah. The standard Ashkenazi text of the Ketubah mentions Mataim Zikukim Kesef Tsaruf, 200 Zikukim of silver, a unit of weight used in medieval Europe. The exact equivalent in modern units of weight is subject to debate, but according to the largest estimate, this is more than 50 kilograms of silver, which comes out to about $100,000, a far more significant amount. Some have the custom to write other amounts, in terms of local currency, like dollars or shekels, into the ketubah, and others make reference in the ketubah to a separate prenuptial agreement in which these details appear. There are several interesting questions which arise regarding the ketubah, including its relevance nowadays, when a woman cannot be divorced against her will due to Cher and Rabbeinu Gershom, and when there are civil laws governing the distribution of assets when a couple divorce. But these topics are beyond the scope of our perek. Halacha Yud Aleph. Hamareset ha'isha v'chatav l'ktuba v'lo nichnesa l'chupa adayin arusahi v'ena nesua she'en ha'ktuba usa nisuim v'imet o gersha gova ikar ktubata mibnei chorin v'ena gova tosefet klal ho'il v'lo knasa. A husband may, if he wishes, write a ketubah for his wife while she is still only an arusa, meaning that if they divorce or if he dies before nisuin, he or his estate will owe her the amount of the ketubah. Writing this ketubah does not itself constitute an act of nisuin, and she remains an arusa. And there are two caveats regarding the payment of this ketubah should it become relevant. One, even if the husband includes a tosefet in the ketubah, only the ikar ketubah of 200 or 100 zuz is paid to an arusa, because the assumption is that the intent of the husband was for the tosefet ketubah to take effect only after nisuin. Two, whereas in general, all the landed property of the husband is mishuabad to the payment of the ketubah, meaning that if he sells any assets after the ketubah is written, the wife may seize these assets from the buyers when the time comes to collect the ketubah. This is not the case for the ketubah of an arusa. She only gets to collect from nechasim b'nei chorin, property which is in the possession of the husband at the moment the ketubah becomes due, upon divorce or his death. The Rambam reminds us at the end of this halacha of something we saw in Perek Gimel. If a father marries off his Ketana or Na'ara daughter, and the husband chooses to write her a ketubah while she is still an Arusa, then the father has rights to this ketubah until Nisuin, or until his daughter becomes a Bogeret, whichever comes first. Meaning, if the husband divorces her, or dies, before Nisuin, while she is still a Ketana or a Na'ara, the father gets to collect the ketubah. Halacha Yud Bet. V'chein tiknu chachamim shakol hanoseh betula yes sameach ima shivat yamim. Eino osek bimlachto, v'lo noseh v'noten bashuk, ela ochel v'shoteh v'sameach. Bein shaya bachur, bein shaya almon. V'im haita be'ula, ein pachot mishlosha yamim. Shetakanat chachamim hi livnot Yisrael, shiyas sameach ima be'ula shlosha yamim, bein bachur, bein almon. After Nisuin, the husband is obligated to rejoice with his wife for 7 days. He is not permitted to work or to be involved in business transactions during this time, nor is he drafted to the army in a time of war, as the Pasuk says explicitly in Parshat Ki Tetzeh. This is true whether or not he has been married before. The duration of 7 days is only for a betula. If the woman is a be'ula, then there are only 3 days of simcha. The Shulchan Aruch accepts this opinion of the Rambam, but adds as a Yesh Omrim that if the husband has not been married before, then even if the wife is a Be'ula, he is obligated to devote 7 days to Simcha with her. The Ramah writes that a woman may waive her right to these days of Simcha. Halachi and Gimel adds that even if a man marries many women at once, meaning Nisuin, not only Kiddushin, he must devote separate days of Simcha to each one individually. So, for example, if he marries 3 women on the same day, all of whom have never been married before and are betulot, then he must take 21 days off from work in order to devote 7 days with each one of his new wives. Halacha Yud Dalet. Mutar l'ares b'chol yom chol, afilu b'tisha ba'av, ben bayom ben balayla, aval eino si nashim lo be'erev shabbat v'lo be'echad b'shabbat, gzeira shema yavo lidei chilul shabbat b'tikona seuda, shachatan tarud b'seudato, ve'ein sarich lomar sha'asur lisa b'shabbat, v'afilu b'chulo shamo'ed eino si nashim, k'mo shebi'arnu, l'fi she'ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha, שנאמר, מלא שבועזות, וניתנה לך וכו'. ושאר הימים מותר לישא בכל יום שירצה, והוא שיתרח בסעודת נישואין, 3 ימים קודם יום הנישואין. There is no simcha in Kiddushin, unaccompanied by Nisuin, and therefore it is permitted to be Mekadesh a woman on any day of Chol, even on Tisha B'Av, but not on Shabbat or Yom Tov, as part of the general rabbinic prohibition to perform a kinyan on those days. But Nisuin is forbidden on especially sad days. Recall from Hilchot Taniot different customs about avoiding Nisuin during the 9 days or during the 3 weeks. And Nisuin is also forbidden on especially happy days, like Chol HaMoed, based on Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, as we saw in Hilchot Yom Tov Perek Zayin. In this context of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, the Rambam points out that Yaakov Avinu was not allowed to marry Rachel until he first finished the Sheva Brachot after marrying Leah. Chazal were concerned about Chilul Shabbat in arranging the wedding meal and in the wedding meal itself, and therefore they prohibited Nisuin not only on Shabbat, but also on Sunday and Friday. The Shulchan Aruch and Nosei Kelin record that the restrictions regarding Sunday and Friday were not accepted by later generations. In fact, it was very common at the time of Rishonim and earlier Achronim, in order to cut costs, to have a wedding on late Friday afternoon, so that the wedding meal that evening could double as the first Shabbat meal. The Rambam writes at the end of the halacha that one must prepare the wedding meal a full 3 days in advance, but as Nosei Kelin point out, the custom is not to be strict about this requirement. The remaining halachot of the perek discuss what happens when one partner of a mikudesha couple wishes to proceed to nisuin. How much time in advance must the other partner be notified, or her father, in the case of a ketana or na'ara? We summarize the details of these halachot. Halacha Tetzayin says that if the wife is still a ketana, she or her father may insist that the husband wait until she becomes a na'ara. In fact, it isn't appropriate for them to agree to anything else, because the woman should not become nisua before reaching adulthood at age 12. Halacha Yudzayin addresses 3 cases. If the husband wishes to proceed to nisuin after the wife is already a na'ara, she may ask for up to 12 months to prepare clothes and jewelry for the wedding. If she has already reached the age of Bogeret, 6 months after becoming a Na'ara, when the husband wishes to arrange the chuppah, then she only gets up to 12 months after the day she became a Bogeret, even if this is only a short time after the husband gave her notice. If she has already been a Bogeret for 12 months or more when the husband makes his request, or if he was only Mekadesher after that point in time, then the wife has only 30 days to prepare for the Nisuin. Halacha Yudchet adds that in the event that the request for Nisuin comes from the other side, the wife or her father, then the husband is also given time to prepare. And the rule is very simple. The amount of time that the wife would have been granted if the husband had made the request for Nisuin is exactly the same as the amount of time the husband is granted if she makes the request. So we go back to the rules of Halacha Yud Zayin to determine how much time the husband is given. Halacha Yud Tet. Higia zman shenatnu la'ish v'lo nisa'a, נתחייב במזונותיה אף על פי שלא כנס. ואם הגיע הזמן באחד בשבת או בערב שבת, אינו מעלה לה מזונות לאותו היום, מפני שאינו יכול לכנוס. וכן אם חלה הוא או היא, או שפרסה נידה כשהגיע הזמן, אינו מעלה לה מזונות, שהרי אינה ראויה לנשא עד שתתהר או תבריא. וכן הוא אינו יכול לישא עד שיבריא. What if the time comes for Nisuin, based on the rules of the last several halachot, and for whatever reason the husband is not ready? Then one of the husband's obligations of Nisuin that we'll see in Perek Yud Bet, namely payment for his wife's food, mizonot, takes effect, even though the Nisuin itself is held up. There are a few exceptions to this rule. If the time period of 12 months or 30 days ends on a day when Nisuin is prohibited, like Friday through Sunday, or on Chol HaMoed, then the obligation of mizonot kicks in only on the first day following this point on which Nisuin is permitted. Similarly, if one of them is sick, when the 12 months or 30 days end, or if the wife is a nida at that point, then he is not obligated in mizonot until both are healthy and she is no longer a nida, because until that point, one of them is not in a state fit for nisuin. We note that even the Rishonim who believe, against the Rambam, that chuppat nida is effective, agree to this din, which is explicit in the Gemara at the beginning of Masechet Ketubot, that the husband is not obligated in mizonot as long as the wife is a nida. For these Rishonim, even though the chuppah of Anida is effective to create the reality of Nisuin, the husband cannot be forced to undertake the financial obligations relevant to Nisuin as long as his wife remains prohibited to him and unable to initiate the conjugal relationship which Nisuin is meant to inaugurate.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.